Well, I want to welcome you to our Sunday morning worship service here at Morrow Bible Church this morning. Thank you for joining us here. We are few in number in the building here today, but I'm glad that you are here, and we welcome those of you online. I suspect there may be a few more online because of all the sickness, so welcome to the live worship service broadcast. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you can stay watching the whole time for the whole service. And know there were many that were sick. Maybe there's some that are just too sick to even watch, and I know that's I know the feeling. but maybe there's some that are just feeling well enough to be able to join us. So hello to you. I hope you got the message that there's no potluck today. And so hopefully those of you that are here, not expecting to eat, we'll try to just keep our germs to ourselves here this morning. But we did have a number of folks get sick, and we were counting them all up in Sunday school, and I was doing it last night. Eva was helping me last night count up everybody. She came up with 12, I know, at that point. But I think there were a few more even that I heard about even this morning. I know several others are staying away just out of to keep safe from the illnesses. So there's no potluck, and we'll try to get that on the schedule again in the coming weeks. We do have an evening service planned, and Mr. Finneran will be bringing the message tonight. So I encourage you to be here tonight or join us live again at 6:30, and we'll have service tonight. We are planning on a Wednesday prayer meeting, Wednesday at 7 p.m. So if you can plan to join us, that's an important time for us. You can come in person, join on the phone. We don't stream the Wednesday prayer meeting, but you can join on the phone if you're not able to make it. And looking at the announcements here, the retreats are coming up at Penile, and August 1st is the early registration deadline, so you can save $10 if you register by tomorrow. So that's that. August 1st is coming up. Hard to believe that we're already almost through July. Today is July 31st, and if we make it to the end of this day, then we'll made it through July, and August is upon us. So we're looking into August in the bulletin and the upcoming events, and so you can take note of that list there of things that are coming up. We did have our gospel literature display at the Knox County Fair this past week, and I was able to work one day, and then I got sick on Tuesday, and so I didn't make it back to the fair, but we did have that there, and, you know, various people do come through and take tracks. I know I heard that there were some display units there that were all cleaned out. People had taken them all. So I know the tracks were being taken, and appreciate the Margraffs with their work on the lettering this year. They did the lettering for the display, and it looked very nice. So we really appreciate their hard work with that. We did make the gospel packages for the fair, and some of those were passed out, and the rest will be used as we go door to door in the church community. And you're welcome to take those and use them if you would like in your own way, perhaps at work or in your own neighborhood. But those are there available to take, and so just encourage you to do that. There is still time for an outdoor baptism service, and want to encourage you to be baptized as in a step of obedience to the Lord after salvation. And please let me know if you are ready for that. All right. I think that's all the announcements I have for now. And so the next song we're going to sing is the handout. So if you have the handout, we're going to do Praise the Lord Who Reigns Above off of our handout. Anybody need the handout? I'll have Anna. Do you need one? Okay, you better go get one. Anybody else need the handout? For today, from Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 1 of Philippians 4. From the back of your bulletin, congregation reads in bold, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved.
I beseech you, Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, they be of the same mind in the Lord.
And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life.
Rejoice with the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice.
Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand.
Care for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
And read with me on the last. Those things which you have both heard and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you all. You may be seated.
Let's bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us life today, that you've allowed us to come here to worship you. And we come to you today recognizing who you are. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Most of all, the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you that we can come to you through Jesus today in his name, and we rejoice that you have solved our sin problem, and that our sins are forgiven, and that you have given us eternal life. We thank you that in spite of all that we may face here on this earth, we have heaven to look forward to. And we thank you for your promises to provide for us and to help us. We thank you that you are with us. Even now, we thank you that you are here with us. We pray for the needs of our church here this morning. We are especially mindful of those that are sick. As we've heard of many that have come down sick this week, some with COVID, and we just pray especially for each one that is not feeling well today. We pray that you would raise them up and help them and help those that are seeking to care for them as well. We pray for the medical professionals that you would give wisdom as they provide care as well. And we pray, Lord, that you would also meet our spiritual needs. We know that sometimes the physical needs help us to see our spiritual needs. And so we pray that you would do that, that you would give us what we need from your word, that your Holy Spirit would also help us. And we just ask you for your help this morning. We lift up our church to you, and we just pray for the needs of our church. Thank you for bringing us together as an assembly. We just pray that you would provide. We pray for growth of our assembly, of the people, and that you would add to our number. And we pray for our elders. Pray that you would give wisdom as we seek to lead the church. And we pray for our worship this morning. We think of our giving as we seek to honor you through that. Pray that you would bless the tithes and offerings that are given today. We lift up our missionaries to you, and we pray for them. We pray for their health, that you would strengthen them, and that you would give them the patience and endurance that they might need at this time. We pray for the opportunities that they would desire to give the gospel, to minister to people, and we pray that you would open up those doors. We pray that you would give us those opportunities as well in this community, among the people that we live next to and work with, and our family members. And we pray that you'd help us to be a good testimony. Lord, we lift up our country to you, and we pray for the needs that are in our country. We know that the sin and iniquity seems to be abounding and increasing, and we feel that things are getting worse in our country. But Lord, we pray that you would do a work. Know that you are able to do that. You can do more than we can ask or think. And so we pray that you would, even in this community, we pray that you would save people. We pray that you would cause people to seek out the fellowship of a local church here. And so we pray for the spiritual needs of our community and our country. And we lift up to you our authorities. We pray for our president, Joe Biden, and we think of him as he's been sick as well. We pray that you would heal him, and we pray for his spiritual needs. We pray that he would truly repent of his sins, and put his trust in Jesus Christ, and we pray that you would guide him as he leads the country. We pray for our authorities in this state and here in this county. We thank you for them, and we pray that you would give them wisdom and that you would get a hold of their lives personally. We pray for our military. We pray that you would do a work in their ranks. We pray for the first responders in our community and those that serve for us and keep us safe. We pray that you would keep them safe and guide them in their work. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And we thank you that we have this time to worship you in, and we commit it to you. And we just commit ourselves to you. We dedicate ourselves to you in this time. And we pray that you would use us that our worship before you would be pleasing in your sight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals now and turn to number 316. Number 316, O to be like thee. Number 316, we'll stand as we sing. 316. Appropriate as we come to the text for this morning, Philippians chapter 4. So I'd ask you to turn there again, Philippians chapter 4. Paul is continuing with the series of brief exhortations here in Philippians 4. And we, 2 weeks ago, I think we looked at the first several in this chapter, that you could sum it all up probably with standing fast in the Lord. But these were things like standing fast in unity, in rejoicing, and in moderation in verse 5, which is that spirit of willingness to yield rights showing consideration and gentleness to others. And then we come to verses 6 and 7. That's the text we're going to look at this morning, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And Paul deals with the subject of worry here. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Somebody has noticed how that sometimes we can give children mixed messages when it comes to helping them with worry. We walk into public schools and you have to walk through metal detectors, and the public schools have security guards usually. And you find the same thing in travel places, airports or subways. You're walking through the metal detectors. There's all kinds of security. And, you know, we tell our children, it's safe. There's nothing to worry about. But we do have a lot to be worried about. The Philippians had a lot to be worried about. Paul had a lot to be worried about. You know, some people are natural worriers, maybe more prone to worry than other people are. Worry can cause problems, cause mental and health issues that can stem from worry. But we see a Christian response here to worry and an approach that is outlined here in these verses that we want to notice. What do we do about worry? Well, we see the first thing in verse 6, where Paul says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Another way we could put that is stop worrying. Stop worrying. We have here a clear command, be careful for nothing. This is an imperative. It's not a suggestion just to try not to worry so much. It is a command, be careful for nothing. Stop worrying, because it is sin. It is a sin. We have to come to the place where we recognize that our worry is a sin. God commands that we not do this. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 6. He gave the same command, the same Greek word is used in Matthew 6:25. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Jesus is giving that same command. Take no thought. Don't worry, in other words. And he tells us in that passage that the root issue is a faith issue. Matthew 6:30 says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The sin of worry is related to a lack of faith. And then Jesus says that to worry is foolish, because our Father already knows our need. Matthew 6:32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So what do we do with worry? We need to first and foremost recognize that it's a sin issue. We need to stop worrying. God tells us to be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Sometimes worry, we think of that as an emotion. And there are various factors that can affect emotions, like diseases and trauma and chemicals, medications, coffee, and things that we do, our exercise, our sleep, our diet. But something else that can affect our emotions and certainly does affect worry is our thoughts. Our thoughts. And this is where it becomes a spiritual issue for us. Our thoughts come from our heart. And our heart influences our thoughts. And so our worry can be in our hearts and a place of sin there. Stop worrying about anything. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. That's pretty all-encompassing. Nothing should be a subject of worry. Whether it's personal needs, the needs of other people, nothing should be a subject of worry. Now, it doesn't mean that we never plan anything, but we plan without worrying. We plan, like James says, by saying, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. And there's an appropriate planning that we can have. There's an appropriate concern we can have for people. Paul says that he knew that Timothy was a man who was like-minded, who would naturally care for your state. He talks about Timothy's concern, his care for the Philippians. There was an appropriate concern, of course, that he had. But it wasn't a worry. It wasn't a sinful worry. And so we need to recognize the sin of worry. Repent of that sin. And to ask God to help us to stop doing that. We need to guard against the thoughts of worry and recognize those thoughts. Sometimes those thoughts of worry can turn into obsessions, unrestrained doubts. We can think about our health. We can really be worried about, the sicknesses that we have. What if I get COVID? What if I can't recover from COVID? You know, what if I have cancer and I don't really know about it? What if I actually have a tumor and that's the cause of some of these things that I'm experiencing? And it can be worry about health. You know, it can be worry about responsibilities, driving. I'm worried about driving. You know, if I drive, I'm going to maybe hit somebody. And I'm so worried about this that I can't drive and it affects our responsibilities. what if I make a mistake in cooking and I poison the family? That can be an obsession. And so somebody is so obsessed with that. But these are thoughts that people have, and you probably have other thoughts in your own heart that are thoughts of worry, that are, uncertainties that you can't do anything about, and they become concerns, and you can sin by worrying in that way. And so Paul says, be careful for nothing. The first way that we need to handle worry is to stop worrying, to recognize that it is a sin. Second thing to do here is to pray. Notice verse 6 again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I'm going to also get a drink here. And pray along with that, that my voice can hold out. Pray in everything. In everything, by prayer. In all situations that we might be tempted to worry in, whatever situations those might be, whatever thoughts that we have about possibilities that could be out there, we need to pray. Pray with thanksgiving. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We always need to express gratitude for the blessings or benefits that God has given to us. It's easy to overlook those, but we all have things that we can be grateful for as we come to God in prayer. And then pray requests. This verse has several words for prayer in it, and some of them overlap in meaning. They're all words for prayer. But Paul talks about prayer as supplication here. Supplication is something that is asked with urgency based on need. He uses the word request here. Let your requests be made known to God. And these are definite, specific requests, petitions that we bring to God. We find the same word used in 1 John 5, verse 15. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. First Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's what we're doing in prayer. We have worry. How do we respond to it? We need to see it. It is a sin. Stop worrying. Pray. Casting our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. We need to do that as individuals. We should start our days in prayer. And maybe we need to make some structure to our prayers, to have some specificity in our prayers. It's hard to have requests be made known to God, unless we are writing them down in some way, giving or verbalizing them out loud. But perhaps we need to make a renewed effort with that as well. But prayer is something that can be done about the problems we might worry about. Jesus spoke of what one of the foolish servants did in the parable of the talents. He worried, and so he did nothing. And when he was called to account for it in Matthew 25:25, he says, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. He was afraid. He was worried that he would lose the one talent. So he did nothing with it. He buried it in the ground. And the master was not pleased. He could have done something. And for all of us, I think, prayer is something that can be done. Worry oftentimes causes us to do nothing. We can be so worried that we do nothing about the problem that we have. Well, prayer is at least one thing that can be done. And perhaps it will lead to the next thing that can be done. And the next thing after that. There's some people who are not on praying ground. There are some people that probably have never spoken a word to God. Some people that don't even know how to pray. There are some people who may have sin hindering their prayers. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And in 1 Peter 3:7, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. There's sin that can creep into our lives and hinder our prayers. And we need to deal with that and get to the place where we can pray. And we can have that through Jesus Christ and through the forgiveness that He offers us when we repent of our sins. Again, it's easy to overlook, but I'll just mention this again. I've said it before, but these epistles were written to churches and to bodies of believers. The Philippians, that was a church in Philippi, and everything that they talk about, I think we should think of in the context of a church. We should pray as individuals, yes, but we also ought to think about what it means for a church to pray. And, our church should be practicing prayer together. We have a meeting on the calendar each week, but as we know, that doesn't necessarily mean the church is praying together. if we don't have a praying church, I think there's a lot that can go wrong. And one of the things that can go wrong is we'll have a worried church. We'll have an anxious church and a fearful church. And so we ought to consider what it means for a church to pray like this. For a church to take everything by prayer and supplication and let that church's request be made known unto God. So what should we do with worry? We should stop worrying, first of all. Be careful for nothing. See it as a sin. Jesus himself said, don't worry. Take no thought for these things. And we should pray. We need to pray about these concerns. And then finally, we see that we should receive peace in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We can receive peace. We see here the source of peace, the peace of God. Peace is the opposite of worry. It's freedom from anxiety and inner turmoil. But that source of peace is God. God creates that. He bestows that peace. Of course, peace comes from reconciliation with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the source of peace is God. And then we're told of the greatness of this peace here. It's a peace which passeth all understanding. The word passeth here means to exceed, to be better than. The words used over in Philippians 3:8, where Paul counts all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. The knowledge of Christ surpasses everything in value to Paul. And here, the peace of God is greater than all understanding. The word understanding here is the word for mind. Just the word for mind, the place of our reasoning and thoughts. The peace of God surpasses our minds. Perhaps the idea is that surpasses what the mind can do for us. It surpasses any idea that we could come up with about fixing our worries. The peace of God is greater than that. One commentator explained it this way: the Christian does not depend on his mind to fend off worry from his heart and his thoughts. That is the best the worldly men are able to do. You know, the world may try to fix worry in different ways, maybe in dealing with the mind in some way. But the peace of God is much better than that. It's much greater than, with what the mind could do. And then we see that peace that comes from God is a peace that gives protection. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're told that God's peace keeps our hearts and minds. The word keep means to guard or preserve. We see that word used in 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's a word that's used of the security of our salvation. And the peace of God brings a security to our hearts and minds. Our emotions and thoughts can be protected and guarded as we commit our cares to God in prayer and we receive peace from Him. So I think we need to look at this and see that this is a promise of God. It's a promise of God. God has told us that if we do this, if we stop worrying, we pray, He will give peace. That's a promise. We don't need to doubt God on this. We need to trust this promise. We need to cling to it. We need to come back to it again and again and remember, God has promised this. Are we doubting this? No. God promises that He'll do this. We need to come back to it. There may be some people who are about to enter a time of trial, and the temptation for worry and anxiety is multiplied. And there may be somebody who, as they think about that, what that could be, you know, you think, how could I possibly handle that? Yet we have this promise of the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds. This is a promise that can help somebody going through a trial. God gives them peace to guard their hearts and minds. From the human perspective, that person might go crazy. How could somebody possibly deal with that happening in their life? But a true child of God can have peace even in a time of trial like that. You know, for children, I think oftentimes children struggle with worry quite a bit. And usually what happens is mom and dad are there, you know, for a certain age. As long as mom and dad is there, they're okay. They're not worried. They'll be calm. But if they have to leave mom and dad, if they have to go somewhere without mom and dad, they're worried. They have to go to school or go somewhere else and be with somebody else. And, you know, the way to cope usually is, you know, the parent finds some way to do it, some mechanism to have them with them and just to be there for them. But ultimately, the child is not getting the best help there with that. They could be getting, and hopefully they will learn as they come to know the Lord, that peace from God will protect their hearts and minds. And the comfort that mom and dad can give them is not as good as the comfort that God can give. The comfort that God can give is much, much better. The peace of God is nothing compared to mom or dad being with them. Mom and dad will not be with the child forever, but God will be with the child forever. And so I think we as parents, we need to learn how to help our children with their anxiety and how to counsel them and encourage them to not just cope with mom or dad being there, but to learn to get the peace of God by stopping their worry and by praying and by looking to God to help them most of all. And that's something, of course, that we all need to do as adults. There's different ways that we can cope and just try to get by with our worries. But we need to get to the place where we're getting peace from God and we're not just coping with other things. So what can we do about worry? Stop worrying. Be careful for nothing. The Lord doesn't want us to worry. And when we go ahead and do it anyway, we're sinning. And then we need to pray in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then we need to receive peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we recognize that you don't want us to worry. And yet our own human hearts and flesh is oftentimes filled with worry. We pray that you would help us to repent, to realize that we're sinning when we worry. We pray that you would help us to take everything to you in prayer, to cast our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. And we look to you for the peace of God. We know that no one else can impart that to us and give us comfort in that way. Your peace is that which passeth all understanding. We know your peace keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we need that, Father. We pray that for each one here today and for all those that may be listening or watching to this. We pray that you give them your peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing as we close a final hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, a hymn about prayer. And let's stand and sing 354, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 354. God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.